During Rav Chalapa, Parshat Vayechel, the people bring their donations, and Moshe gets word. Everyone's bringing the stuff so much, it's more than we need. So the wise men tell Moshe, tell them to stop. Why? Why were they concerned? What's the big deal? So they'll have extra. They said, so long as people are excited over bringing to the Mishkan, so that's a good thing. But once they're bringing and we no longer need it for the Mishkan, then what's happening here is people are getting excited over a materialistic act, over donating material goods. And that's already something Hashem didn't ask for. If we don't need it anymore, then there's this excitement over giving, just as the people were excited to give to the golden calf. Excitement over donating can only be when it's within the realm of giving to something that's really holy. Once we don't need it for the Mishkan, so then what do we want people so busy and excited over donating for? That was their concern. And here, says Rav Chalap, we learn something about wholeness. Whenever we deal with something physical, there should be a concept that what's physical is being done for the sake of the spiritual. Am I into the physical or am I into the spiritual? And the physical is a vehicle for the spiritual. So long as the wise men saw we need a donation, they said it's good that people are excited bringing the physical because they're doing the physical for something spiritual. If we don't need it anymore, so then what ends up happening is I'm focused on the physical for the sake of the physical. The one who receives it, the one who gives it. This is a perspective. We continuously have a choice. Am I eating because I'm hungry? Or am I eating because I have to do important things with my life? And so when I'm hungry, I have to feed myself so I can be productive. Is the body the goal, or is the body the vehicle? Does the body have a right to an opinion, or does the soul say, I run the show here, and we're going to do what's right for me? I need the body, that's my vehicle, but I don't ask the body, what do you think? I say, let me analyze what the body needs, let me take care of it so that it can be the vehicle. And once an act veers off of that path, so then that act is already in the wrong direction. That's where a person is starting to be bound by their desires. Hashem made man yashar. Hashem made man so that he is straight, so that he is honest, so that man will actually function as a spiritual being. Man will lead a life that revolves around the question of, what am I supposed to do in this world? And the soul is in the driver's seat. And once we veer from that path, then we're veering from the balanced life that we're supposed to be leading. That's already a problem. It's not only the result. The mere fact that a person has veered off the path is a problem. This little concept that we learned now is a very, very important one. It's really a whole philosophy. Example. You're going in the supermarket. You have a wagon. And you come in and you see that potato chips are on sale. You put it in. You see the popcorn's on sale. You put it in. You see that wafers are on sale. You put them in. You see that sugar's on sale. You put it in. And then you stop and you ask yourself, should I be eating all that? It's not good for my diet. It's not healthy for me. They told me that fried foods bring on high cholesterol. Shouldn't be doing that. What just happened? The body was in the driver's seat, and then the mind said, do I agree? We're taught to work the other way around. The mind is in the driver's seat. The body is not the driver. I walk into the supermarket, I'm supposed to be thinking, what am I supposed to do now? What am I here for? What do I need? What am I supposed to spend my time on? Let's take another classical example. You sit down in front of the computer. What do you click on? What'd you come here for? What are you doing with your time? If the mind is in the driver's seat, then that's the question. What am I supposed to be doing with this time? Let's take another example. It's 12 o'clock at night. Do you go to sleep? Or do you continue doing things that you really don't need to be doing? Well, if the mind is in the driver's seat, then the mind says, what am I supposed to do? If I want to be focused tomorrow, if I want to be productive, I'm going to go to sleep. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his commentary on Mishnah, quotes a Yerushalmi, which is actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchot Melamdim. It says that there was once one of the rabbis came to town, and they told him, oh, so-and-so, he's the children's teacher, he's the Rebbe, he's a big tzaddik. He fasts all the time, he's a very big tzaddik. So he went to see him, and he said, he saw the man was weak, and he was frail, and it all came from all the wonderful fasts he was doing. So the rabbi asked him, he said, what's the halacha? Ha-choresh beparato balayla. If you take a cow, and you use it all night to plow, and then in the morning, you rent it out. Is that permissible? So he said, no, that's thievery. When a person rents a cow, he assumes he's getting a fresh cow after it rested all night. You're not allowed to rent out a cow in the morning. People think they're getting a fresh cow, and really you worked with it all night long. So he said, "Uma bimlechet basar v'dam kach." If when you deal with regular tasks, simple mundane things, you agree with me that that's stealing because you worked with it all night, what about you? You spend your nights learning, you spend your days fasting. Are you really being honest with your employers when you go to teach the children? Are you focused? Are you patient? Are you the Rebbe you're supposed to be? This isn't called piety, this is called thievery. You're stealing from your employers. You're not allowed to come and be a Rebbe when you didn't sleep enough at night, when you didn't you didn't eat enough, and you're not going to be the Rebbe you're supposed to be. So this is quoted in the laws of teaching Torah, that a teacher has to be careful to get the sleep he needs to be able to function the way he should. So coming back to here, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. What Rav Charlap is saying here is that from the wise men in the Mishkan, we learn a rule. The physical is the vehicle, and it should always be the vehicle. The mind is in the driver's seat. The soul is in the driver's seat. What am I supposed to be doing with my time? What am I supposed to be doing with my energies? What am I supposed to be doing with my money? Did I put the stuff in the shopping cart, and then I start asking myself, should I? Okay, at least I'm asking myself now. Or did I start with the question of what should I be doing, and then I decide what goes in the shopping cart?
You know, they say it's better to go shopping when you're full.
Yeah. Yes. When Chava said, "Umipiri haetz asher betoch hagan amar Elokim lo tochelu mimenu velo tigeu bo," when Chava added, "You're not allowed to touch the fruit," technically, she was adding offense. She was protecting herself. But Hashem hadn't told them to make that fence. Hashem didn't tell them, hey, watch yourselves, guys. So there was an arousal here, but it wasn't an arousal from above. So I don't know why Rav Chalap says that, but that's what Rav Chalap says. He says if they didn't have a commandment to make fences, then this was an arousal that came from her physical side. And that's why it was destructive. But today, when the Torah says, watch yourselves, we have a mitzvah in the Torah, Rav Chalap says that's the difference between what Chav did and what we're doing. It's a big chidush to me. He says, when the Torah commanded us, Ushmartem et mishmarti, and from there we have the mitzvah, what it says in the Mishnah and Avot, Asuf siyag la Torah, protect yourselves. So then when we protect ourselves, when we say, I'll take a step back, I'm going to make sure to finish my shower and shave and be ready for Shabbos 20 minutes before Shabbos. Because if I come to the cutoff line, then who knows if I'll be just before or just after the cutoff line. Then a person is doing what's right, because the Torah said, watch yourself. And that stems from the holiness of the Torah. Again, we always have to know to remain within balance. Rav Charlap adds a parenthetical point. Right? Sometimes a person says, let me stay away from that cliff, and he takes two steps back. That's okay. Yeah. Sometimes he takes 10 steps back, and he falls back off the other side of the cliff. That's the idea that Torah says, don't make too many fences. You're allowed to make one fence. You make two fences, then you're already endangering yourself. That's one interpretation as to why Yaakov Avinu was in error with Dina. Yaakov Avinu is meeting up with Esav, so he hides Dina. But he doesn't only hide Dina, he puts nails in the coffin, right? He closes up the casket she's in to ensure Esav doesn't see her. Why'd you have to put nails in there? She's inside. You know she's hidden. I took a step too far. So then Dina feels like she has to go outside. She ends up dancing with the girls and ends up being abducted by Shechem. Because Yaakov Avinu took a step too far. It would have been enough to leave her there. He didn't have to nail it shut. That's one interpretation as to what was Yaakov's mistakes there. And that's the same thing we find with Nadav and Avihu. They wanted to do something holy, but they weren't commanded. We have to know that when we take steps that are not in the realm of Torah, they're not in the realm of watching ourselves, very often they are an attraction to the physical. Rav Chalap says, sometimes a person thinks, I'm being very spiritual, but I'm inventing things. Where does it come from? It's not coming from where you think it's coming from.
Well, how is that an attraction to the physical?
That's exactly what he's revealing to us.
But how? No, he said it, but I don't understand. Can you explain what, or does the does Rav Chalap explain?
Let's continue.
What he means by that?
Let's hear him in one more sentence. He says the same thing happened with the eagle, with the golden calf. People decided that to be spiritual is to go after my inner thoughts of what it means to be spiritual. If I decide how I'm going to be spiritual, then I could get everywhere with the thoughts of being spiritual. The Torah gave me a system. If it's within the Torah, it's spiritual. If it's out of the Torah, it's not spiritual. Someone stopped me this week, and he says to me, do you want your son to do the army? Do you want your son to be Haredi? Do you want your son... I said, stop. I want my son to do one thing. I want him to do what it says in the Torah. He says to me, no, tell me the truth. I said, I told you the truth. There's a Torah. There's 613 mitzvot. That's what I want him to do. So he says to me, would you send your son to this educational system or that educational system? I said, I'd send my son to the educational system, which I think will help him in committing to doing all 613 mitzvot. I want my son to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of him. That's what I want him to do. One answer. You're going into details. There aren't details. The details are irrelevant. I'm not going to start dealing on the politics of things. You want to know the truth? You want the true answer? That's what I want. I want my children to do 613 mitzvot. They should know what they are, and they should observe them. And what about the army? Well, you know there are different opinions among the rabbis of Israel how to view the army. So I'm okay if he has a rabbi, if he's learned Torah, if he's come out with one way or the other. I wish him good luck, so long as he's trying to observe the way of the Torah. Whether his conclusion is going to be A or B, I'll respect it either way. But it has to be stemming from striving to do the will of Hashem. If he's right, if he's wrong, who said I'm right? Who said I'm wrong? I don't know. I try my best. That's what I want him to do. People ask me, can I eat by so-and-so's house? I say, is so-and-so an observant Jew? Yes. So why not? So people get very upset at me. They say, but maybe he eats kashriyot that I don't eat. So I say, right, and maybe he's right and you're wrong.
Oy.
I say that about myself. I say that about myself. I don't understand. So I did my research. I came up with the answers to the best of my knowledge. What's considered a good hechsher? That's what I eat. Yeah. My neighbor invites me for a Shabbos meal. Why can't I eat by him? Sure, I can eat by him. He's a good Torah observant Jew. He did his research. I did my research. Maybe my research is better, and maybe his research is better. So... What's wrong with that? Again, Rav Chalap says the key question is, am I interested in what I believe is spirituality, or am I interested in what the Torah believes is spirituality? When a person allows himself to develop his own thoughts, Rav Chalap says that's how we got to the Eagle. The people were in the direction of, let's serve Hashem. Aaron HaKohen had said, Chag LaShem Achar, a celebration in honor of Hashem. You want to be in honor of Hashem? As Shmuel says to Shaul, Ki Chatat Kesem Meri. If you're going against the way of the Torah, there's no difference between that and doing paganism and sorcery. Chatat Kesem, that's just like doing sorcery. There's no difference. Once you've veered from what the Torah said, then you're doing your own religion. So we like to tell ourselves, I'm being spiritual. It's a very holy thing. You're inventing. Inventing is dangerous, and Rav Chalap says worse. Inventing really stems from our physical desires. It doesn't stem from our spiritual side. That's a very hard thing to hear.
How so, though? I understand that he's saying that anything that is not within the framework of Torah is veering off the Torah, is veering off what Hashem wants. But the question is what when Rav Chalap is claiming that the whether it's the motivational factors or whatever that leads someone to do that, so, and even in the name of spirituality, or setting up a fences and, you know, extra fences, whatever, is in the name of physicality. That's what I'm hearing from this. And okay, it might be so, but
I'll give a few examples. We can hear that arrogance stems from physicality, right? Because it's not spiritual, it's a desire to promote oneself, right?
Yes.
Let's say there's a guy who decides he feels very spiritual when he wears clothing that's different than everyone else. We've had students, I've known people who showed up, not only here, and after learning for 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, very diligently, they go and they buy the garb of the chief rabbi of Israel. And when you ask them, what are you doing? You're dressing up for tefillah, and they say, this is how I feel spiritual. Can you argue with it? He feels that's how he's spiritual. We once had a guy who used to come here, and when he said Shema Yisrael, he yelled it at the top of his lungs. That's how he felt spiritual. He was distracting everyone else in shul, but that's how he felt spiritual.
Those were against the law.
What?
He said those were against the law.
First one is definitely against the law.
Okay, I'm not going into the halachic side of it. I'm trying to illustrate how when a person invents his own things and says, this is how I feel spiritual, in his mind, he really feels spiritual. To the outsider, we can see how that's not really being spiritual. So, just as we can see it on others, we have to realize that when we don't see it on ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves.
So is Rav Chalap saying that the actions themselves are physical, not necessarily the motivation? Meaning, is someone who's dressing up like the chief rabbi of Israel or whatever it is he being motivated by his physical desires to do so?
That's what Rav Chalap is saying,
and
yes.
And he's only confused into thinking that it's
right?
spiritual.
Right? And a person can very easily confuse themselves.
So if you get down to the tachlis of why he just wants to dress like the chief rabbi of Israel.
I'm not judging him. I'm not going into him. I'm saying
someone who is going, taking the extra fence, or in the name of spirituality, in the name of holiness, or whatever it is, when he doesn't have to, whatever the example might be. Just we're talking about this one in particular, and it's a very easy example to imagine.
Right.
At the end of the day, the person just wants to do the fence. At the end of the day, the person just wants to dress up.
Right.
It's not that, but he is justifying this physical desire to dress up or do the fence or do this, that, whatever it's going to be, in the name of saying, this is me being spiritual. But
I wouldn't say even the word justifying. I would say he senses it as being spiritual. He feels like he's being spiritual.
But at the end of the day, it's physical.
Rav Chalap is telling us, look at the formula. You can't just judge by the way you feel. He really feels spiritual. Says Rav Chalap, it's not real. But he thinks it's real. So how do I know if it's real or not? Go back to the system. Are you adhering to the system or not?
What happens if someone has physical desires and they're making the fence in order to prevent it?
No, then that could be that's really spiritual. I mean, that's... That's why we can't judge other people. I'm not saying a person's right or wrong in doing A or B or C. I'm saying there's certain circumstances where it definitely seems obvious to us that the person's living in fantasy land. And without going into the specifics of the detail, I'm using it as an illustration for the concept Rav Chalap is saying. That we have to realize that we deceive ourselves. And the deception is very potent. A person doesn't sense that he's deceiving himself. A person senses that he's being spiritual at that moment. The guy who stands and yells Shema Yisrael is convinced that everyone else is wrong. He is being spiritual at that moment. He feels like he's touching the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is in a different planet when he's yelling his Shema Yisrael. The fact that people all around him are being disturbed, and like many said, it's against halacha, you're disrupting the concentration of everyone around you. I mean, we'd be holding by almost the end of Shema, and he'd be going, Yisrael! at the top of his lungs. It's very hard to daven that way. Very hard.
Prof, can I try to defend this behavior? No, it's good. I would say, out of all the places I have been, even playing in Kibbutz David with these very energetic people, and even in the Amidah, everything is silent. Suddenly it's there's a pain somewhere, so everybody has an Amidah, that's the way how they do. The Schafschud is, we don't know from where these people come. So maybe there are communities, like I know rabbis, during the teaching of the Gemara, all the time we bang with the feast or the book. Can you imagine? I'm repairing books all the time, and there's a rabbi with the energetic and smashing the Gemara on the table and banging with the feast. So that's no, it's not enough about it. That's a place like people teach like that. Because that's the energy of this world of the Torah and all that. So when you come from there and you stay there many years, that takes you with you. You think, oh, that's what I have to have a black hair, and I have to have what a Schreibel. The Schreibel all the time goes higher and higher now. So, no, it's not enough about something is changing in that world. So to give a benefit of the doubt for these people, you don't know where they come from. Maybe they stay in such communities, and they say, oh, that's what I learned there, and I give it over, and I take a big meal. So then it's suddenly they're here, and here everything is silent. You don't scream during the Amidah because you have some spiritual pain and so, but it's every community is different. And
no problem. I didn't mean we should judge the person. Yeah, I meant it's an illustration of
just
a concept.
To say, there is so much going out in different directions.
Fine.
Yeah.
So Rav Chalap says that's why when the wise men saw that the nation was bringing more than was necessary, they said that's not good either.
Yeah.
What we need is where it should stop. And once Hashem said, tell the nation to stop, the nation stop. So here again, you see the strength of the nation to go in the way of the Torah. If the nation was just excited, my gold's going to be there, so then they'd continue. Wait, can you just take this in? No, the Pasuk says, Vayikalea me'avi. The nation stopped and said, just as we were commanded to bring, so we brought, it says within the first 3 hours of the day, all the gold and silver, everything was filled. Meaning they had 3 hours to run, by, they hadn't even reached noon, and they run to Moshe and they say, we can't handle this, we have so much gold and silver and all the materials we need. So once the commandment came to stop, they stopped. And that's a very big indicator as to where the drive was coming from. Sometimes a person has many guests, And it's hard to know. Am I having the guests because, all my neighbors say I'm a big tzaddik. All my guests say I'm a big tzaddik. Or am I having many guests because I want to do the mitzvah? How do we know? You can see what happens when the person has a better option. Do you tell the person, go, it's good for you. So then I'm doing it for the real reason. When it was good for him to be by me, come to me. When it's good for him to be there, good, go there. The important thing is what's good for the guest. If when the guy goes, I feel bad. Oh, I was going to have X number of guests. Now I'm going to have less number of guests. Then I see that my drive was a little different. Rav Chalap is drawing the perfect picture, the pure picture. In reality, we're all a balance. We're not all good. We're not all bad. Our actions are not all good. Our actions are not all bad. There's a certain element of altruism to what we do, and then there's a certain element of taintedness to what we do. And we're always shifting. We're trying to get to the picture of Chalap is painting. A person shouldn't look at himself and say, because I have my personal interests, so what I did was wrong. No, what I did was right, and I have to work on doing it for more of the right reason. More of the right reason. There's a balance. It's not all or nothing. And it's better to do what's right for the wrong reason, and then we'll be able to shift our reasoning, than to not do it. That's what Chazal said. A person should always do shelo lishma, do it for the wrong reasons, because mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Initially, you come for the wrong reasons, you end up doing it for the right reasons. And that's the evolvement of man. So we shouldn't let this frustrate us, only align us. Help us see where we're supposed to be headed. Yes?
It says
I guess the vehoter, the leftovers, was That from the time they realized they had enough till they came to Moshe, till Moshe gave out the decree.
Did they not sit all of the views?
Right, I don't know. I don't know what Chazal make with that vehoter. I don't know.